Okay, guys, Cassie is usher every week. Way to go, girl. But you, Frankie held off there. Way to go. I like the kid that sticks a bucket in front of their face. It's a gift. What are you doing? Gift. It's a morning. Way to go, girl. As y'all know, we just got back from Guatemala. We were down there all week and at the orphanage and doing some construction. And so I always let whoever went on the trip, I always want them to come and tell y'all, because I never want to ask you for money and tell you what all these things we're doing, and then you only hear it from me. You need to hear it from everybody that's going down there so that, you know, you do know there are children down there that we're taking care of. And I'm not just taking your money and going to Guatemala on vacation. Although, I think I've decided that Guatemala must be home, and this has got to be the mission field, because it was raining, it was 60 degrees, it was green and lush. Every morning I had to put my jacket on when I was sitting outside the little restaurant outside the hotel and drinking coffee. The best coffee in the world is there. And so, you know, rain, coffee, green, man, that looks more like a place I want to live. I come here, it's a dry, step out of the San Antonio airport, and it's like, oh, sweet Jesus, take me back, you know. But anyway, so you guys come on up. We had Bob and Crystal and Jeff went with us down there. And y'all come up here for just a minute and share and talk. Tell them what. Jeff here, we had this all planned like a month ahead of time because we had to get a roof put on down there, a metal roof. And Jeff hauls off and gets his foot broke. But God bless him, he went. Even working on the roof barefooted at times, and got her done. So, Jeff, just tell everybody about what you saw.
Well, be just a repeat for me, or y'all have all heard this over and over. It's the orphanage is growing. I've got a bunch of pictures. Instead of just passing my phone around, I'm going to get with Jake, and we're going to try to get them out, and next week or something, maybe get them up on the screen. But I got a bunch of pictures, and they're not that great. Or I was actually taking them for me. Didn't really think about y'all. Or next time I will. Or as in the presentation of them, I was just walking around, click, 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 everything I could see. And so, but the experience was awesome. The kids are growing, the love there. I'm proof that place wouldn't be there without y'all, without the help that everybody goes. There was a big group. They came and worked and planted flowers, and it was raining, and nobody seemed to care. They would get a trash bag and cut a hole in it and stick it over them, and out they went. They were digging in the dirt. We were on the roof in the rain. It was a blessed trip, especially for me. I got to stay there. So I hate to brag, but I'm going to. There's a cafeteria there that we've built, and the things in it wouldn't be there if it wasn't for this church, in particular for right there, the cafeteria, not including other things. But everything we give goes. I promise. I'm proof of it. I see it. I'm going to see it more. And I could go on, so I'll just pass this.
Thank you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Crystal Lentz, and I've actually had the privilege of traveling around the world and going to a lot of different orphanages. I've been to Russia, Yemen, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, and it was a real privilege to be able to go to this orphanage. It's incredibly clean. The kids are so well taken care of. Just looking at the structure, look at the building, seeing the vision and the dream for the people there. Andrew and Bethany shared with us they want to move these children from being victims to victors. And one of the things that they had them do, we had a bonfire the last night, and it was exciting to see these children get so excited about a marshmallow. And, you know, at first they would grab their hand and they'd grab one and put the hand behind their back and then say, can I have one more, you know? And so they were roasting marshmallows, and they had some of the older girls get up and share their testimonies because they want to take them out into the villages and serve in the villages. So they don't develop a mentality of just always receiving as victims, but they learn to give out. And I just thought, wow, you guys are forward thinking with these children on how you want to raise them up and who you want them to be. But in some of them sharing, just hearing their stories, they had one little girl who came in. She was 2 years old, and 90% of the girls there, as most of you know, have been sexually abused. And this two-year-old girl had already been sexually abused. And then one little girl in her testimony time shared that I don't know exactly how she was, didn't have her parents anymore, but she was out of the home, didn't have any place to go, went into another orphanage. That orphanage sold her into prostitution. And so then eventually her and her brother were able to run away. They ran away, and I guess they were living on the streets, and this lady from the church took them in. Something happened in her family, and she was no longer able to take care of them, and she had heard about the orphanage, the children's home. So she took them there. And in her testimony, she said, "I've never known love like I've known here." And, you know, that to me is proof of God working. And it's all His to begin with anyway. We just have an opportunity, a privilege to be able to give to something like that and then watch Him work. So thank you for your prayers. It was an honor to be able to go.
My name is Bob Davis, and first I want to thank Dave and Karen Cook, and David particularly for allowing God to work through him for this book. David, I think you've touched many, many lives. You have no idea that you've touched, and through the book, through the movie, you're going to touch a lot more. And anyway, I just thank you and praise God for that, actually. Jeff talked about his pictures and things, but I watched Jeff on the roof out there. And Jeff did a great job. He was out there working, putting the roof on, and anyway, did a just terrific job. And so whenever you thank somebody for taking the things that you have given and putting them into a product, that's the guy right there. He'll do that. So, well, when Crystal prays, she always says, "Okay, now it's your turn." And I say, "Well, you've already done it. You've said everything I was going to say." But now she has traveled around the world, and I wanted her to go with us when Robert and Laura asked us to go with them because I wanted to see that orphanage myself. I had not seen it. And my background's all in business, and I've run businesses most of my life. And so what I wanted to do is go down there with Robert and see what they were doing and if there was a way that we could do something down there to make it self-sustaining financially. There are many things that that you guys have done through contributions and everything else, and Ivan Tate has preached and gotten money, and Robert and Laura have worked like crazy to do that. But, you know, if we can figure out a way, some kind of business that or businesses that would create cash flow for that, that takes some of the pressure off. You know, for creating this money every single week, every single month, every single year. And there are a lot more things that we need to do there. There's no question about that. But anyway, so that was my job, to go down there and kind of look at that and see if there was something. And I think we found a couple things maybe that that can do that. And so, you know, right now we're looking at one thing that might possibly take about half the expenses. Okay, well, it's not going to take just one thing. It'll take two, three, four things maybe to do this. And I wanted Crystal to go because she's been in mission work for years and years and years all over the world. And as she said, she's seen so many different things. So I wanted her to go so she could see it as well. And so she and I could kind of compare thoughts and see what was there. So, but your contributions have gone to great use. You know, Crystal talked about some of the children there. I asked him about percentage of boys and girls, mostly girls, and the reason is because they're abused, mostly. And they were saying that the girls or the families that come, some of the children, there'd be one boy and maybe two girls or three girls with that family, and they don't want to take boys over about 9 years old because then they become predators, either for the girls or for other boys and things like that. So very interesting. And as Robert and Crystal said before, and Laura, that, you know, this truly is a Christian orphanage. And it is one of those things that God is working through you, but working through the people there. And I think Bethany and Andrew from Australia, are going to do great things there. That you can just see the glory of Jesus in their faces. You can just see it. And anyway, you guys have done a great job. And Robert, thank you very much for taking us down there. My pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Yeah, praise God. It was a great trip. Andrew and Bethany are going to be here at some point this year and are going to come in here and speak. I know some of y'all know them. That's Ivan's oldest daughter and her husband. And then they have three children. And they're ordained out of this church. I was really privileged and blessed and as a body and as a church here that of all the churches that Brother Ivan goes into and preaches and all the people that they know, when it came time that they felt like they should be ordained, they wanted to come to Living Waters Church and wanted us to ordain them. And so they're ordained. So actually, they are missionaries from this church, if you look at it that direction. I know Ivan's their father, but this is a place that we hold a covering over them, and we love them. And matter of fact, here in a I don't know, maybe next week even, she just wrote a book, and I'm getting 50 copies in that we're going to use. And it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. It's right along the lines that I have about praying the word and stuff, but it's just a little bit different, and it's really great and awesome. And so anyway, it's just great things, folks. I'm just telling you, just you're a part of great, great, great things. Amen? And so the thing that's coming up that we're going to have to do is we've got to look ahead. And I've got two major projects in front of us that we've got to do. One is the school. We've right now, our church is put together, and you'll see pictures of all this. We have some video and some pictures, but we just didn't have time. We got in late last night, and no way to get it all done, but we'll have it up here next week for you to see. But we've got to finish the second half of the school, and we've got to get the roof on it is the first thing, and then just start working from the roof down through all the rooms, because what's happening is we're gaining more children as more houses are coming online. And what's going to happen is more houses come online, then we're going to start running out of classroom space. And right now, we have all of our own school, our own teachers, all of our kids are there being taught the best. I would say 50% of the children right now are at least 50% able to speak English. We've got now, like we said, they were roasting marshmallows. We forget about the simple things in life, folks. They had never roasted marshmallows. And I mean, I don't know why that struck me as odd, but they had never roasted marshmallows. So we built a big bonfire and got clothes hangers, and they were all like, what are we doing, you know? And then showed them how to roast marshmallows. And I mean, it was just like, ha, this is the greatest thing in the world, a marshmallow. You know, I'm like, wow, just the simple things of life that, you know, they're just trying to exist. And they didn't know about that you could have marshmallows. And the funny thing is I didn't know this. The word, the Spanish word for marshmallows are angelitos, angels, little angels, angelitos. And I'm like, you got that one right. That's the right word. I love marshmallows. Anyway, but what we're going to have to do is going to get the roof on. So immediately we were looking at an expense of about $30,000 to get the roof on. So I already told them down there, we looked at it, we can do it in pieces and in phases. And I said, look, our church, we're committed to it, we'll get the roof on, because we're like septics and roofs. So I said, seems to be our anointing in life, septics and roofs. I mean, I don't know how we got that one, but that's it. And so we're going to be working to get that done. So this is what I'm asking y'all to do. I'm not asking you to dig down in your pockets. These are hard times. All of us are feeling the economic things that are going on in the world right now. But I'm not asking for that. I'm asking you to believe God for miracles. Okay? I'm asking you to believe God for miracles in your finances. I'm asking you to just put yourself out and say, Lord, I'll be available. Can we do that? And say, okay, Lord, here. Maybe you sow $10, but you're believing for $1,000. And then all of a sudden you sowed the $10,000 and $2,000 comes in. Well, you better make sure and give the $1,000 because God just blessed you. Are you with me? I'm asking you to just believe God for miracles. I'm telling you, God is a miracle worker. There's two things he wants you to do. Matthew 10:29 says that when God I'm paraphrasing all this. God said, you're going to have to suffer the loss of some of your family, some of your friends, some of your houses, some of your things in this earth. But he said, I will give back to you for serving me 100-fold in this life and in the life to come. Well, if he's going to give you back 100-fold, that means everything you commit to God, he wants to bless it and he wants to then give it back to you. So whatever you commit in your heart and say, God, I'm just believing you for this. Well, then you're going to see God do it. Amen. So I'm not saying this morning, okay, I want you to reach into your savings account, reach into your pocket and get more. That's not it. I just want you to believe God for miracles. Can we do that? Can we do that? Are y'all with me here this morning? I mean, it don't cost you anything to believe God for a miracle, does it? Let me ask you something. If you got money that came into you that you didn't expect and you sowed it, are you farther behind or are you farther behind or are you farther ahead? Well, the Bible says if you're going to sow, then he's going to take it. He's going to mix it together and he's going to give 100-fold. So let's say you believe God for $10 and you got $10 and you sowed the $10. Well, then the $10 is in the harvest field going to make you the $10 then is going to make you 10 times whatever. So then that, now you got 100 coming. And then out of the 100, you got 1,000. Out of 1,000, you got 10,000 coming. The more you sow, the more you reap. That's the principle of God. Amen? So we're going to do that. The second thing is a bigger project. And I don't know, I have not even got everything investigated in it, but we have built a city. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line. We have built a city. There's 100 and some odd people living on that site right now. And we're going for, more children, double that capacity. And there's all kinds of things that you get when running a city you don't think about. Number one is sewer. Water and sewer. And so we've got to believe God and figure out some sort of I know of some places that have water treatment plants that are mobile and you take them in there and then everything goes in to the treatment plant and everything goes out as clean water. And I've got to look into some of these things and see this thing. But that's the next big thing that we're up against is where we take it all, you know. The sewer, that is. Nasty job, but somebody's got to do it. So anyway, any of y'all know anything about that? Have any thoughts about it? Know anybody about that? Well, let me know because we need a treatment plan. Amen. So look at the person beside you and say, hey, God can handle that. He's handled our mess all of our life. He can handle that mess too. Amen. So get it your Bibles out this morning. And if you would go to the book of, let's start here at Acts chapter 2. Y'all don't give me much time to preach this morning. We've had too much fun already. I think I'm just going to stay here in the church most of the day just because it's air conditioned and cool. That's tough. 60 degrees is what we left at, and it was 100. That's tough, man. Make my flesh crowd. I sweat jumping out of the top all over me, man. Just my body just turned into one big sweat when I stepped out in that. Acts chapter 2. I've been preaching this message on 7 weeks to glory. Then got into 10 steps on the King's Road. And this is another point on 10 steps to the King's Road I've been preaching on. Because I'm telling you, you men and women, You saintly, godly people, God wants to do something with you. Listen to me. He wants to work miracles through you. He wants to do great things through you. He wants to bless you. He wants to open up your eyes. He wants to reveal his word to you. He wants to show you great things about himself. He wants to have special times with you. He wants to do things that make you say, wow, how did you do that? That's the God we serve. I don't care what you've learned in religion. I don't care what's been preached to you before. I don't care whatever thing else that you've heard that may have been wrong. Listen to me this morning. God is for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you good things. He wants to pour his Holy Spirit upon you. He wants to open up your eyes to let you see the glories and the wonders of heaven. Amen? Y'all don't even sound like you're excited about that. I mean, really, think about it. God Almighty makes worlds, wants to come and sit down and talk with you. Amen. He wants to reveal things to you. He wants to show you things. And he's going to do it, the Bible says, by the power of his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is going to open up your eyes. He's going to speak to you. He's going to give you an understanding. It's his Spirit that's going to do it. So through this whole series of messages, and last week was Pentecost Sunday, and we had a great celebration. I pray that every one of you guys were blessed last week, and you're just learning and learning and growing and growing. Some of y'all already told me about some things that have happened in your life last week that are blessing you and helping reveal more of God's things to you. I'm just believing God, though, that listen, that this is be a greatest days of your life. I don't care how long you've served Jesus. I don't care if you say, well, I understand everything. But listen, God's doing something new. He's doing something new on the face of the earth. He's stirring people. And we're going to see a great move of God and something new going on in life that I don't believe religion's going to accept. And I'm not talking crazy Pentecostal. I'm talking about people that are love God, love Jesus, and that will bless their neighbors and help their neighbors and speak good words to people and help people and tell people the good things of Jesus. Amen? And we see that nothing comes about in life without the power of the Holy Spirit. I've showed you this. I've gone through this whole series, and I can't go back over it all, or we're just going to be never finishing and never ending. But last week we started here in Acts chapter 2, and we were talking about the power of Pentecost and what happened. We talked about how the Holy Spirit fell. And when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church, that all kinds of new things happened, and all things that people began to see them. And I want to show you to a verse here. Verse 13. I'm in Acts chapter 2, verse 13. Verses 12. Let's read verse 12. Let's read verse 11. Verse 11. He said, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. When the Holy Spirit fell the day of Pentecost and it fell upon the people, the thing they began to declare was not look at this building or look at this church or look at this or look at that. The thing they began to declare was everybody heard them speaking the wonderful things about God. Some churches preaching this morning make God out to be the bad guy, the enemy, trying to kill you, trying to make you sick, trying to destroy you, trying to penalize you, trying to hurt you. That isn't the God I know. The God I know declares wonderful things, is a God of wonders and miracles and signs, and is worthy to be just shouted his praises of all the good things that God is. Amen? So that's what they were doing. It says, so they were all amazed, verse 12, and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? It amazes me when God shows up, your creator. Listen to me. Your creator shows up and nobody understands him. What's wrong with that picture? The creator shows up in front of the created and nobody recognizes him? Hello? They didn't even understand what was going on. So verse 13 says, others mocked, said, these guys are all drunk. Now, I think it's interesting, first of all, for them, they're in church when this happens. In the temple, in Jerusalem. Yeah, with me? So I'm going to call it church. They're in church. So that means there was people in church that knew what drunks look like. How do you reckon that happened? I said, oh, there's drunk. Well, how do you know what drunks look like? The other thing I think is funny is I have been in some places in life that I shouldn't have been. And I have never been to a bar, never been to a rodeo, never been to a dance, never got drunk in my life and looked up and said, boy, these people all look like church people around here. So I think this is one of the marvels and most amazing verses in the Bible that here's these guys say, well, they all look like they're drunks. Now, I want to preach about that this morning. Okay? About this reason why they said this. And show you this next step on the King's Road. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 18. It says, do not be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If you take that verse and you dissect it all and you tear it all apart and you get this thing all in there, it really means Paul is trying to get the point across to the people at Ephesus. He says, don't be just filled once with the Spirit. Be being filled. Live a life that you're totally and at all times needing to be refreshed and be refilled with the Spirit. Like you, in other words, you're going to run out of the juice if you don't get filled back up. I heard a preacher say one time, how do you know if you need more juice? It's because you get really squeaky. So if you're complaining and squeaking and squawking in life, then you need an oil change. Right? Of the Holy Spirit. But the scripture, Paul's trying to talk to the church at Ephesus. He says, look, you have to be being filled. You have to have a continual life of being filled with the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, walking with the Spirit. It's a lifestyle. It's not that you got saved once. Praise God, you do just get saved once. But I mean, you went to a church and got saved once, and then that was the end of your walk with Jesus. No. You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that then your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and your sins are forgiven. But that gets you from then to when you die. But all in between this walk, we're living in this world that wants to suck the very life out of you. We're coming home yesterday, and we all boarded the plane. Everything went well. God was with us. I was driving the van headed to the airport, and a big 15-passenger van had everybody in there. And we're coming up, and there was a stop. A truck got in the way, and all the cars stopped real quick. And I stepped on the brakes, and as soon as I stepped on them, my heart just about throbbed right out of my chest because there wasn't any brake. And I was like, I stepped on it and nothing, and I pushed harder, nothing. And then I was on top of it, pushing down with everything that I had, running the pedal through the floors. Like, I could see that car coming quicker, 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 and quicker. And I didn't want to scream like a girl, but that's what I felt like doing. And then I pumped it a couple of times, and then I got some brake. And I mean, I got her shut down just, you know, a few feet from the back of that car. And Brother Ivan, he was sitting over on the other side, and he says, cut it a little closer, didn't you? I said, man, we ain't got no brakes. He says, what? I said, yeah, we got no brakes. This thing ain't got no brakes. And at that moment, I thought, oh, God, thank you that I just used up every ounce of the Spirit I had right there before I hit it. Now I got to get refilled, Lord. I mean, it went out my toes trying to get this thing to stop. You don't know what's going to happen in life. You don't know what's going on in life. Folks, listen to me. This world wants to steal the life out of you. People want to steal the life out of you. I don't really think people set out in that day to steal the life out of other people. But I think because they're in a bad place, they just like to steal life out. There's some ugly people in this world. There's some people in this life that are they're ugly. I don't mean their looks. I just mean their attitudes. They're just mean and rotten and ugly. There's situations that you can't do anything about in life that will steal your faith and steal the grace, steal the love, steal the joy right out of your heart. When we got on the airplane, Don and I finally got to the airport. We got on the airplane to come back. We're all sitting on the airplane. We all get in there. We all get buckled up. We're all sitting here saying, okay, you know. And then we don't take off. And they say, I'm sorry, but the flight's going to be delayed by 9 minutes. I was like, 9 minutes? Who counts 9 minutes? Why? And they just say 10. So they're like, okay, well, whatever. And they come on in a minute and say, we're sorry. The flight's going to be late an hour to best of an hour and a half, but we would like you not to disembark off the plane. I'm like, and so I'm just thinking, okay, Jesus, Jesus, how I love you. Oh, Lord. So, you know, now on the planes, they got the movies, you rent them, you know? And so I'm like, sweet Jesus, okay, it's $4. Okay, $4 is worth it here. I slipped my card to there, rented a movie I hadn't seen, want to watch it. Start watching. Right in the middle of the movie, they say, it's going to be 3.5 hours, so we're going to go ahead and disembark y'all off the plane. I'm like, I just paid for this thing now. right at the most exciting part. You know, the chase scene's going on. Okay, everybody get off the plane. I'm like, hi. So we get off the plane. We walk out into the deal. I said, okay, I'm hungry. There's a restaurant right there. Let's just eat. I mean, got nothing else to do. We'll eat. Make me happy somehow. We're going to eat. Drink more coffee. So we just start to do that and then say, I'm sorry, we got the plane fixed. Everybody get back on. And by this time, my wife was just stroking my arms. Because I'm just about to scream, you're pushing me to the limit. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, why you had to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you're going to lose it in instances like that. It's going to run out your toes. It's going to run out your mouth. It's going to run out. And you're going to have nothing left over but the squeaky grinding of the gears of your life. Folks, the Bible is not just a guy who wrote some letters down and just kind of sent some good words out there. They know what they're talking about because he knows people. And Paul knew that the church of Ephesus is just like every other person in this world, that we have to be being filled. But let me show you something about this. When it says, and be not drunk with wine, why are they bringing drinking back into the thing? Or getting drunk? Let me put it that way. Why are they bringing getting drunk back into the picture? Why is he using that as an example? Now, see, the early church, when they saw them all laughing and staggering and whatever, they said, man, that guy's a drunk. Now, Paul's saying, look, he says, don't be drunk with wine. Be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that the point he's making here is that the getting drunk by alcohol is the fake of being the real thing, being drunk in the Spirit, like it was the day of Pentecost, like it was when they saw them there and said, wow, look at those guys. They're all, how do drunks act? Come on, folks. You got two types of drunks. You got happy drunks and you got mean drunks. I know this from experience. You got happy drunks and you got mean drunks. Well, it could have been mean drunks. They were looking at the day of the church and said, all those guys are all, they were talking about happy drunks. They were talking about people were, they're carefree. They were loose. They were laughing. They were hugging. They were whatever. They were, you know, enjoying themselves. Y'all with me? And the world wants to tell us, well, look, the way that you're going to enjoy yourself is just to go out and drink. But the problem is, no matter how much you drink, you're going to end up in trouble, because he says, listen, he says, don't be drunk with wine, which is an excess. But that word excess there is not, doesn't mean that you drank so much you got drunk. This is an interesting word he used. The word actually, if you go into the Greek and you look at the word, it's the word astosia. And it's a compound of two words. They took the negative part of this one word and they use it to make this word. This is the way the Greeks did it. Okay? But the word literally means properly unsaved. Now, I don't understand that, because I mean, to me it's like, either unsaved, what does properly unsaved mean? Right? But that's what it says in here. Properly unsaved, excess or riotous. Not righteous, but riotous, like throwing stones and rioting. Y'all with me? The negative part of the word. You know where they got the negative part of that word to make that word? It's from the word sozo. And you may know that word. You may, because that's the word that means to be saved, delivered, protected, healed, preserved, whole, and to make well. They took the negative part of everything that we want. Listen to me. Everything we want to be healed, to be delivered, to be saved, to be full of joy, right? They took the negative part of that word and moved it over here and put it into this word and said, okay, now that word means excess. So he said, Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, which is an excess, which is properly unsaving you. To put it literally. He said, look, that's not going to bring you joy, because the wine wears off in the Holy Ghost. You just get refreshed, but it's a good drunk. It's a good high. Folks, all I'm trying to tell you is that the imagery of this world is that you go to church because you don't want to go to hell, and you try to do right because it's the right thing to do, but the whole time all the rest of the world's having fun going out and doing excess, and church peoples are stuffed, shirted, or whatever, when the whole principle of what God is trying to say is we ought to be just as drunk as the world, but on the Holy Ghost. We ought to have joy. We ought to have laughter. We ought to have peace. We ought to have, relationships. We ought to have all the good things of God in our lives. It should be a giant party. Years ago, there was a man named Tony Campolo, and he wrote a book, The Kingdom of Heaven is Like a Party. And I read that book, and I just loved that book, because he went through all that, talking about the feast. And every time you see God doing something in the Old Testament, and he's going to have the throwdown, have a party, man, a big barbecue. I mean, God was into barbecues. And it was like, bring all the family, the wine flowed, they had a party. They would party for days. They wouldn't have like, no, you know, a 9-to-5 party or, you know, whatever like that. It was all day going on, weeks on end, days and days of festivals and partying and eating and eating and eating. Think about this. The death angel's coming into Egypt, and he says the firstborn of all of Egypt's going to get killed, and it's time for us to leave the land. And he tells them all, okay, now what's what we're going to do? Go out and roast a lamb. Get your family in the house, roast a lamb, we're all going to sit down here and eat it. He says, we're going to eat it in a hurry. This is a hurried kind of a party because I'm getting ready to deliver you. So eat it with all your clothes on, your staff in your hand, but eat it. We're going to have a party. And while the death angel is going through Egypt and killing all of the firstborn of every living thing there, because it killed, if you go read the story, it wasn't just the firstborn of their children. It was the firstborn of everything. That means the first dog, first cat, first cow, first everything died. While they're going through death, everybody else is sitting over there having a party, eating roast lamb. God wants you to come down in life, and I can tell you all this from my own experience. I have not perfected it, but I am striving earnestly to get to the place that when the world, the death angel is passing through the world or passing in my direction, I can just sit down and have a party. But that's what God wants to do. He wants to do it for all of y'all. He wants to bless you so much in your life that all you can do is sit around and laugh thinking about the good things God's done for you. He wants to do things for you. He wants you to think that you can't get it done, and then you come to the realization you can't get it done, and then you say, God, I can't get it done, and he does it for you, and he watches a smile on your face. I'm telling you, that's God. That's what he wants to do for you every single day of your life. He says, don't go out there and get drunk, which is properly unsaved. Get drunk on my spirit. Now, I like this word. He says, don't be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The word filled, okay? Listen to this. It means to make complete, to cram, to level up, or to furnish beyond measure. I think filled means to me like stuff to the top, overflowing filled. Doesn't mean a drip. Doesn't mean a drop. Doesn't mean just a touch. It means so full you're splashing out. It's like the Coke bottle. You filled it up, you shook it up, and there it went. That's how full you're supposed to be, to overflowing. So how do you know if you're full? Well, number one is cranky's gone. Number two is you're not near as worried about everything as you used to be, because now you know God's going to take care of it. Number three is you start to have vision for your life. This is just to know if you're filled. You're not cranky. Oil's flowing. You got vision. Your vision for your life. You have joy in your life. You're not worried about things like you used to do. Something has changed. All of a sudden, the pressure that you look at is lifted because of the joy of your salvation. Folks, those are all signs that you're filled, full to overflowing. How much are you crammed full? Then it starts to get off on somebody else. So if you're not getting off and blessing somebody else and somebody's getting excited about being around you, you know, then you're not full to overflowing. So how do you get full to overflowing? You got to ask. You got to spend time. You got to pray. You got to you got to talk. It's next week's message. But that's what you're looking for. Amen? Amen. Just this life. This life of abundance of joy and peace. Amen? How many of y'all could stand a little more joy and peace? I don't know about y'all. I could. I want y'all to know. I'm going to pray this prayer over y'all in just a minute. And I'm sucking it up myself because, man, I lost a lot getting from that, from Guatemala to here. It cost me, man. It was an expensive trip, man. I got to be being filled. Some of the meanest stewarded and stewardesses on the planet I've ever seen in my life. Unbelievable. I mean, it's like they rounded up all the irritated people that day and put them on the plane. And just said, go in there and see if you can't irritate that cowboy back there in the back. I held it. It was a tough deal. But anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about y'all. I make myself vulnerable. I tell you what's going on in my life to help you understand what's going on in your own life. Amen? So I think all of us could be being filled. Amen? All of us need another dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So stand to your feet if you could. I want to pray over you. We do have dinner on the grounds today, so I want to invite everyone to come and to stay with us and to come into fellowship if you would like. I know it's Father's Day. You may have some place you need to be. But, church, I'm telling you, we've got to understand this life about being filled with the Spirit. Amen? And so, let me just pray over you. This message is sinking in your heart. This message is touching you. Then let me pray over you. And let's believe God here this morning for Him to touch our lives. But before I pray, let me just remind you. You know, Jesus said Himself that everyone that ever comes to Him said they'd never be ashamed. For 25 years, I've served Jesus with all of my heart, and I've never been ashamed. He's never left me ashamed. And He said, every person that comes to the Father through Him, He said, God will always hear His prayers. The Apostle Paul wrote and told us in Romans chapter 10, verse 29, he says, that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe that He's the Son of God, that He died for your sins and He arose from the grave and that He ascended into heaven for you. He says, if you would do that, if that's your confession, that's your belief, and you speak it out of your mouth, He says, well, then salvation's yours. So church, speaking to everybody here and everyone that's watching the broadcast today and listening to the radio program, if you don't know Jesus, you need to confess Him as Lord and Savior. There's nothing I can do for you except get you to confess, to get you to declare, to get you to pray. That's all I can do. So I want to ask everyone here today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I want to pray with you right now. And what I want to do is I just want to have I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. And so I want to ask everyone just to bow your heads for just a moment. Give everybody a little privacy around you. If you're in here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't know if you died, you're going to go to heaven. But you want to? Well, then I want to pray with you. And so just lift up your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, you're talking to me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life today. I want to make him my Savior. Thank you. I see that hand. Just lift it up and let me see it. Then you can just put it back down. It's okay. I just want to know who I'm talking to. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Church, pray with me now. Those of you that lifted your hands and everyone else, maybe you're too shy, you're too intimidated to. That's okay. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. He's not ashamed of you. But everyone pray this with me. Say, Jesus, today I ask you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins, and cleanse me with your blood. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you arose from the grave and that you forgive me of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, that today heaven is my home and I'm going to be there with you forever. Thank you so much. Amen. Now, everyone look at me here for a minute. You prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart. The Bible says that in heaven a book was opened, the Lamb's Book of Life, and he wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He sealed it, he put it in there, and that today the Bible declares, all of heaven declares that you're a son of God. And everything I preached about this morning is all yours. The Holy Spirit's all yours. All the good things of heaven are all yours. Amen? Amen. Now I want to ask you, take the hand of the person beside you. We're going to set ourselves in agreement here for all of us to be being filled with your Spirit. So, Father, I pray right now over every person in here. I ask you today, Lord God, that as we join hands in a sign of unity, we're saying, Lord, we want to be filled with your Holy Spirit over and over and over again, Lord God, so we can see the good things of God. Lord, so that the crankiness will get out of our lives. Lord, so that the joy and peace and life and breath of God will be in us. So, Lord, this morning we commit ourselves to you. We thank you, Lord, for filling us, for refreshing us, for touching us right now. Lord, I thank you that as we continue to go through this day, Lord, this Father's Day as we celebrate it, as we go and eat dinner on the grounds together and visit with one another and encourage one another, I just declare, Lord, you're just going to continually fill us full to overflowing. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you so very, very, very much. Now, Lord, bless them. Bless all this food. Bless our time together, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hey, God bless you.